الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن انتهج نهجه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praises are due to Almighty Allah, the Lord of the world. We praise Him, we thank Him, we seek for His help and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils of our souls and the evil consequences of our wrongdoings. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم is his servant and messenger. May his peace and blessings be upon him, his progeny, apostles and the believers who takes the right path till the day of resurrection. May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his infinite mercy grant us all the privilege of being among them. بإذن الله تعالى, today we shall proceed from where we stopped, still on the subchapter 56, باب فضل الجوع وخشونة العيش والاقتصار على القليل من المأكول والمشروب والملبوس وغيرهما من حظوظ النفس وترك الشهوات. The chapter that generally discusses the excellence of simple living and being content with little. Today we shall commence with the hadith of Muhammad ibn Sirin, which he reported from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda. That is hadith number 508. He said, wa an Muhammad ibn Sirin an Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu qal, laqad ra'aytuni wa inni لأخر فيما بين منبر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى حجرة عائشة رضي الله عنها مغشيا علي. أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه وأرضاه said that indeed he had seen himself falling on his face. Makshiyan alayya, falling on his face, lying down on his face, fainted in between the masjid, the minbar of Rasulullah, the pulpit of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the chambers of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha wa arda. He used to lie down on his face, fainted. فيجيء الجائع, that while in that condition a passerby will come. فيضع رجله على عنقه, and that passerby will place his foot on my neck. ويرى أني مجنون, and he will think that I am insane. وما بي من جنون, وما بي من جنون, although there is nothing of insanity in me, I am not insane. وما بي إلا الجوع, the only thing that was with me was severe hunger. Yes, you know, hunger can take someone to that level, to the extent of fainting. It can cause someone to faint. It can cause someone to seem as though he is insane. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda used to feel hungry to this extent. Subhanallah. He used to feel hungry to this extent. And he is one of the apostles of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have reiterated times without number that the amount of wealth, the level of luxury, your status of livelihood is not the yardstick with which you measure the pleasure of Allah. If things are good, you eat good, you wear good, you ride good cars, you build beautiful houses, as a Muslim, it is not haram for you to possess all this. But you have to be careful. Don't be deceived that it is because Allah is pleased with you that you are being granted those things. It is not. If those were to be the yardstick of measuring the pleasure of Allah, then it will have been right for us to say that Allah is more pleased with Bill Gates than any other servant of his on earth today. If enormity of wealth is the yardstick, Bill Gates will have been the most beloved servant of Allah to Allah today on earth, because he is the richest of all. But that is not the yardstick. The reverse is likely to be the case. أشد الناس ابتلاء الأنبياء ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. Those who will suffer and endure the highest level of tribulations and trials are the messengers of Allah. And those are at the first row of devotion to Allah. They are the selected few among the servants of Allah. You can imagine how many billions of creators of Allah, how many human beings he has created since the descendants of Adam and Eve from the heavens to the earth. But he selected just those few as his messengers. You think he is not pleased with them? He selected them as his messengers. The Messenger of Allah said, those set of people, the selected, the chosen ones among the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will face and endure the highest level of trials and tribulations. ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. Then those who come after them. Then those who come after them. So your level of iman will determine the gravity of the trials and tribulations that will befall you. There are some servants of Allah, if you come close to them and you become privy to what they are going through, to what they are enduring, sometimes it may be the wife. A good servant of Allah, Allah will test him, Allah will place him on trial through his wife. Sometimes, look at Nabiullah Nuh, his wife, his son. He was about offending Allah because of the love he had for his son. Innabni min ahli. That is a messenger of Allah. His wife refused to believe in the message. His son refused to believe in the message. Strangers are believing. His immediate family refused. That is not an easy burden on the mind of anybody, talk less of a messenger of Allah. That is the person to whom the revelation is being sent down to directly. Without any intermediary, Allah sends down revelation to him. He receives the revelation directly from the heavens, but his immediate family refused to believe. ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. That is why our righteous predecessors, because of the comprehensive understanding of the religion they had, if someone stays for a long time, no trials, no tests, his business flourishing, everything, no sickness in the family, he did not fall sick, his children, his wife, everything is going fine for a very long period of time, they become afraid and scared. Afraid of what? If it were me and you, we will be happy that alhamdulillah for the past 10 years now, mashallah. Our righteous predecessors, they will be scared for the fact that they are afraid, so that it will not be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed their sins to be accumulating. Because those trials, that is why the most beloved, the strongest in iman, will receive the highest level of trials and tribulations, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses it to cleanse their sinful acts of them. So that on the day of Qiyamah, they will come before Allah and they don't have any sin with them in their file of sinful acts. The dunya is not for them. Allah loves them. So Allah will grant them steadfastness on the faith whenever the trial comes. The Rasulullah SAW said, "Hatta shawka." The slightest of pain that someone sustains, it is being used to expiate his sinful act. That is why a believer, whenever calamity befalls a believer, he endures. He takes solace in the fact that Allah is using it to cleanse him of his sinful act. So if things are good and they are flourishing, everything is fine, it's not a yardstick of the pleasure of Allah. Rather, it is likely to even be a sign of the anger of Allah. That is why we have to be very careful. Look at Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda. Only Allah knows today alone, how many radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda that was said on Abu Hurairah alone. Only Allah knows, only today, just today. Only Allah knows how many times and how many of his servants, madaris. I was reading something last week that a particular print media in Paris observed that the fastest selling book in France today is Arba'in al-Nawawi. I know that when that man was writing that book, if someone told him that this book you are writing in the corner of your room will penetrate the nooks and cranny of this dunya, you will not believe it. How many of Abu Hurairah's hadith is bearing? How many of Umar ibn Khattab's hadith is bearing? How many of those sahabas? How many madaris in the dunya today those books are being used? Those books are being read. How many majalis those books are being read? These sahaba, their names are being mentioned. And servants of Allah, devoted servants of Allah, not ordinary servants, devoted servants of Allah are saying, radiyallahu anhum wa ardahum. And this is how it will continue till the end of time. Radiyallahu anhum wa ardahum. Oh Allah, be pleased with them. Allah be pleased. Allah is already pleased with them. But servants of Allah never stopped supplicating unto Allah for his pleasure for them. But they were poor. Abu Huraira used to be hungry to the extent that he falls down on his face and someone will even think that this person is mad. He goes out of his senses. He said, it is not that I am insane. There is nothing of insanity that was with me. Rather, إِنَّمَا كَانَ بِي Al-Ju', it is the severeness of hunger. Look at our condition today and we don't still thank Allah. That is another thing. We don't thank Allah. Sometimes someone can be sure that inshallah for the next 3 weeks myself and my family will lack what to eat. But yet we are not thankful, we are not grateful, because we've always looked at people who are surrounding us, who are of higher status. That has been depriving us the opportunity of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is was the condition of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda, whose lengthy hadith we read at the last time, the hadith of Laban, when he came and was hoping that someone will come and invite him to his house. And people were passing. In the particular narration, Abu Bakr passed and looked at him, Umar passed, looked at him, Rasulullah came and looked at him and knew what was going on with him. The hadith of Aisha رضي الله تعالى عنها وأرضاها قالت توفي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم توفي رسول الله ودرعه مرهونة عند يهودي في 30 صاعا من شعير. That the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم died, at the time he died, درعه مرهونة, his armor, the iron clothes he uses in war, or that which he uses to cover himself, was mortgaged. At the time he died, it was mortgaged with who, you know? With a Jew. For what? For measures, 30 measures of what? Barley. 30 measures of what? Of barley. So his armor was in the possession of a Jew at the time he died as a mortgage. That is the most beloved servant of Allah. Al al-Itlaq. That is the most Sayyid Waladi Adam. That is why we have always said that the understanding of we Muslims it's not, it differs from what is being preached today in the Christendom. If things are difficult for you, definitely it is Satan. It is only when it is good. And each and every individual who doesn't have Satan in their life must be a millionaire. You must be a millionaire. Once you are not yet a millionaire, then the Satan has not left. That is stupidity. وَتُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدَرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. That is our belief. Because if it is Satan that is doing all those things, then where is Allah? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has the overall control of the entire being. Whether in the heavens or on the earth, whether angels, human beings, animals with their species, Satan has no control over anything, no matter how little. That is the understanding of we Muslims. This is the most beloved of the creators of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He died while having mortgaged his armor for food. صلى الله عليه وسلم. وعن أنس رضي الله عنه قال رهن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم درعه بشعير. Anas said that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم mortgaged his armor for barley. ومشيت إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بخبز شعير. That he Anas رضي الله تعالى عنه took barley bread to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa ihalatin sakhina, alongside the bread was rusted fat, that is after melting fat, they call it ihalatin sakhina. Wa laqad sami'tuhu yaqul, that and that indeed I heard the Messenger of Allah saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma asbaha li ali Muhammadin sa'un, ma asbaha li ali Muhammadin sa'un wala amsa wa innahum latis'atu abyat, wa innahum latis'atu abyat, that the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never possessed sa'un, a measure. Sa'un, they never possessed a measure of any form of food. Rasulullah ﷺ did not qualify the sa'. Is it of wheat? Is it of barley? Is it of whatever? He said they never possessed a measure of any form of food. وَلَا أَمْسَى وَإِنَّهُمْ لَتِسْعَةُ أَبْيَاتٍ, from dawn to dusk. This is a complete day. There was no single measure of what? Of any food item in that house, although وَإِنَّهُمْ, and indeed they were nine houses. They were nine houses to be fed. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If this happens to someone of weak faith, they will look for him and they won't see him again. He will leave to an unknown destination. Nine houses without a measure of food. Nine houses. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was after dunya, he would have been the richest of all. There wouldn't have been any rich human being in the history of this livelihood that will be richer than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He doesn't complain to his Sahaba, although they were rich ones among them, very rich ones. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, the likeness of Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Abu Bakr, Umar, the likeness of Uthman ibn Affan, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and add to it the fact that these ones are even his what? They are his in-laws. They are his in-laws. They are already part of the family. But he will never complain to them. وَإِنَّهُمْ لَتِسْعَةُ أَبْيَاتٍ, but I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making this statement. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال لقد رأيت 70 من أهل الصفة ما منهم رجل عليه رداء. أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أرضاء said, indeed I have sighted 70 out of the people of Suffa. We've said a lot about this set of people. Those were the people that migrated from Mecca to Medina and from other places. They don't have families, and then they don't have any other place of abode except where? The masjid, the mosque of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Hurairah said, I cited 70 of these people. مَا مِنْهُمْ رَجُلٌ عَلَيْهِ رِدَى, none of the 70 had a cloak on him. None of the 70 had a cloak on him. What is it that they were wearing? He said, "Imma izarun, wa imma kisa." He said, "It is either someone has the lower cloth, that is the izar. The upper one is the rida. That there is none of them that has rida. It is either the lower cloth, aw kisa, or a blanket. Ordinarily." Someone is expected to have how many? Two. The rida and the izar. Abu Hurairah said, none of the 70 of these people that I saw had what? Had rida. It is either the lower cloth or a blanket. قَدْ رَبَطُوا فِي أَعْنَاقِهِمْ مِنْهَا مَا يَبْلُغُ نِصْفَ السَّاقَيْنِ. So how did they do with it? He said they tied it onto their neck. This way. Because it is just a single piece of cloth. So they tied it over their neck. مِنْهَا مَا يَبْلُغُ نِصْفَ السَّاقَ. Out of it is the one that goes halfway down to the leg. نِصْفَ السَّاقَ. ومنها ما يبلغ الكعبين. Some of it get up to the ankles. فيجمعه بيده كراهية أن يرى عورته. You know, when you tie a single piece of cloth this way to your neck, if you are walking, what is likely to happen? The front part of it is likely to what? To expose. So what they do, if they tie it this way, they will hold onto it with their hands so that their private parts will not be exposed. These were set of people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised them in the Quran. They were the ones whom Allah referred to when he said, يَحْسَبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُ أَغْنِيَا مِنَ التَّعَفُّفِ تَعْرِفُهُمْ بِسِيمَاهُمْ لَا يَسْأَلُونَ النَّاسَ إِلْحَافًا. لَا يَسْأَلُونَ النَّاسَ إِلْحَافًا. Allah made mention of these people in the Quran. He described them with good virtues. Although they deserve to be mentioned by Allah, min fawqi sab'i samawat, although they don't have complete clothes to wear. That is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us from trampling on the right of people we underlook. You just look at somebody because of the way he dressed. You see a very poor fellow going about the street, maybe selling cola. You just underlook him. You might not know his status in the scale of Allah. That is why it is expected of a Muslim to treat people equally. Be good to all and sundry. Don't select a particular class of people to whom you will only be good to. A particular class of people to whom you will respond to their taslim. Haven't we heard that children used to hold the hand of Rasulullah in Medina? Haven't we heard that an insane woman will hold the hand of Rasulullah, take him to wherever she wishes? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why strangers, if they come into the gathering where Rasulullah is seated, they will have to ask, Ayyukum Muhammad? Who amongst you is Muhammad? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Despite his position in the sight of Allah, despite the fact that his apostles revere him, they so much love him, they so much respected him, but he humbled himself. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the way these people dressed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made mention of them. He praised them in the Quran, and these verses will be recited till the end of time. And whenever anybody is making commentary on these verses, he must what? He must make mention of those people. Although they didn't have sufficient clothing. They didn't have sufficient clothing. But that did not deter them. It did not deter them from attaining that status that made Allah to make mention of them in the Holy Quran. That is why it will be a double jeopardy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. It will be a double jeopardy for a poor person. Somebody who led a poor livelihood. He suffered here on the earth and he did not worship Allah. On the day of Qiyamah, it is going to be punishment. That is double for that person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. That is why, no matter what your condition, don't ever allow it to come in between you and your God. No matter how difficult things turn out to be for you, don't ever allow Satan to use that to come in between you and Allah. It is rampant today. Just last week, a brother called me concerning a brother who has taken an abode in a church, a Muslim brother. Why? He ran into difficulties. They promised to help him. We are going to help you, but with a condition. The condition is that you will what? You will become a Christian. Now, even if someone gives you the whole of this world, the whole of this dunya, place it in your hand as the owner, and you give in exchange for that your iman, your Islam, it doesn't worth it. Then, can any human being solve another human being's problem? No human being can solve another person's problem. It is, if Allah wishes, He uses you as a cause. You can be a sabab. You can only be a link to the upliftment of another person's problem. But it is never ever solved by you. You cannot solve it. That is why if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you the opportunity of assisting someone, don't go bragging about that. You need to thank Allah for the fact that you are, because there are a lot of people there that will never ever be able to do it. There are people that have more than you do, but they will never ever be able to do that. Abu Hurairah said, I saw 70 of these people. مَا مِنْهُمْ رَجُلٌ عَلَيْهِ رِدَاءٌ إِمَّا إِذَارٌ وَإِمَّا كِسَاءٌ قَدْ رَبَطُوا فِي أَعْنَاقِهِمْ مِنْهَا مَا يَبْلُغُ نِصْفَ السَّاقَيْنِ وَمِنْهَا مَا يَبْلُغُ الْكَعْبَيْنِ فَيَجْمَعُهُ بِيَدِهِ كَرَاهِيَّةَ أَنْ تُرَى عَوْرَتُهُ. Somebody will have to hold on to his clothes so that his private part will not be seen. So even when he walks in the street, he is not free, because he will have to hold on to the clothes so that his private part is not exposed. It's been mentioned by Allah in the heavens. Mentioned. Do you know what that means? You know the day that the Rasulullah told that Sahabi that Allah instructed me to request from you to recite the Quran for me. He said, the Rasulullah, Sammani? You mean Allah mentioned my name? He was about running mad. Allah mentioned my name. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha wa ardaha used to be happy for the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses, cleansing her, distancing her from the allegations which were levied against her by the hypocrites. It's a pleasure that Allah talks about you, ordinary you. So look at these people. They don't have anything. They don't even have good clothes. Allah describes them in the Quran. He said they are in a very serious situation of need. But they had this. They were chaste. They won't ask. This did not deter them from attaining the pleasure of Allah. So no matter what your condition is, be patient. Be patient. How long are you going to stay on this earth? For how long are you going to stay on this earth? And the irony of it all is that as we are here seated, after our departure, if the time of any one of us has elapsed, he goes. The fact that we were here with him does not stop him. It doesn't. You say salam to someone, 5 minutes after that, you receive a call that he's gone. That is this dunya for you. Some people, when calamity befalls them, they turn upside down. How many of us will be able to endure this kind of a situation? You've been known with your big, big cars, expensive clothes, classy things, high status life. That is the bounty of Allah. He gives that in abundance to whomever he wishes. And he also takes it away if he wishes. So if Allah places you under trial and he takes it away, many people have turned their back to the religion of Allah because of difficult situations. Many have gone to churches, many have gone to ritualists, many have gone to herbalists. But if you submit to the will of Allah and endure, and you did not allow that situation, because it is then people will be coming advising you, let me take you to this person, let me take you to, there is one man in that village, there is, then that is the beginning of your problem. Till the end of time, you will be consulting those people till death. And you will never achieve anything other than what Allah has decreed for you. So Allah told us, Allah informed us in the Quran. We read previously that verse wherein it is not the love you have for worldly things that determine what you get from the world. Allah says, no matter how much your love for worldly things, you don't care about meeting Allah. All you want is this dunya. Allah said, we are not going to give you except that which we wish. It will be limited to only that which Allah wishes. Then after that, because that is the only thing you are out for, then you come back and meet Allah. An ibn Umar radiallahu anhu qala kunna julusan ma'a Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah, the son of Umar, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with both of them, said, we were seated with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a sign of humility of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sits with his Sahaba. You can imagine, close your eyes and imagine that in our contemporary time, someone is receiving revelation from Allah. Ordinary human beings will not see him. Maybe presidents of countries will have access to him, senators and rich men. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was for all. That we were seated with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is there a rajul min al ansar, when a fellow amongst the ansar approached, he came, فَسَلَّمَ عَلَيْهِ. He greeted the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. ثم أدبر الأنصاري. When the Ansari was about leaving, after greeting, he came purposely to greet the Messenger of Allah. When he greeted, he was about leaving. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, يا أخ الأنصار, O you brother of Ansar, كيف أخي سعد بن عبادة. سبحان الله. كيف أخي سعد بن عبادة. You know, the relationship between the Messenger of Allah and the Apostles is far, far beyond the relationship between a teacher and a student. Because if you are a teacher, in most cases, your students are all Muslims. What you just did is to enlighten them more. You make them to be more vast. You make them, through your teachings, their understanding of the religion became more comprehensive. But you did not guide them to Islam. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring these people out of darkness, entire darkness, into light. But here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never said, you are my student, to any of them. It's either you hear him saying, you are my brother, or you hear him saying, you are my friend. Antum ashabi. La tasubbu ashabi. He did not say, don't insult my students. Rasulullah knew that. He knew that word. He never used it. He said, they are my friends. Being the friends of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did that reduce the status of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said to this Ansar, he said, Kaifa akhi Sa'ad ibn Ubadah. How is my brother, Sa'ad ibn Ubadah? Even Anas, when Rasulullah ﷺ entered Medina, Anas was about 10 years old. His mother brought him. She said, Rasulullah ﷺ, I'm giving you, handing over Anas to you. He will be at your service. If you want anything, send Anas. Anas is also Sahibi. A child of 10 years old is also a friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, how is my brother, Akhi Sa'ad ibn Ubadah? How is my brother doing, Sa'ad, the son of Ubadah? Faqala Salih. Then the Ansari said, he's doing fine, he's fine. Faqala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man ya'uduhu minkum. He was talking to those, you know, they were seated before this person approached. He asked about Sa'ad. Then he said, man ya'uduhu minkum. Whom among you is desirous of visiting? فَقَامَ وَكُمْنَا مَعَهُ. He stood up. When he said that, he stood up and we all stood up with him. وَنَهْنُ بِضْعَةَ عَشَرٍ. We are more than 10, not up to 15 in number. مَا عَلَيْنَا. This is the mahallu shahid now. مَا عَلَيْنَا نِعَالٌ. مَا عَلَيْنَا نِعَالٌ. We were more than 10. None of us had shoes. وَلَا خِفَافٌ. No thick socks. وَلَا قَلَانِفْ. Talk less of having what? Caps. وَلَا قُمُسْ. None of us even had shirts. نَمْشِي فِي تِلْكَ السِّبَاخِ. We were walking barefooted in Medina on that dry land. A sibakh is a land that is not good for cultivation. That is what they call sibakh. He said, we were walking barefooted on that land, on that dry land. We had no shoes. We were more than 10 of us. As if there was a meeting that nobody should wear shoes today. It is not that they agreed not to wear shoes. They didn't have. How many shoes do we have today? Each and every one of us. They had no shoes. That we walked barefooted on that dry land, hatta ji'inahu, until we came to who? Sa'd ibn Ubadah. فَاسْتَأْخَرَ قَوْمُهُ. When we arrived, his people gave way. مِنْ حَوْلِهِ. They were surrounding him, they gave way. حَتَّى دَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Until the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم came close to Sa'd ibn Ubadah وَأَصْحَابُهُ الَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, and his friends that accompanied, those who accompanied him to the place of Sa'd ibn Ubadah. They now came closer when these people gave way, when they saw the arrival of the Messenger of Allah SWT, they gave way for the Messenger of Allah SWT to come closer. In the hadith, one of the things scholars deduced from it is the lawfulness of walking barefooted. There are other hadith wherein the apostles of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُنَا, that he used to order us not to wear shoes sometimes. But this is one of those sunnah which, while implementing it, you have to be very careful. This very hadith, it was because they had no shoes. But there are independent hadith wherein the Messenger of Allah Sallam was said to have ordered his apostles to once in a while walk without what? Without shoes, barefooted. You can do this in your house, in your compound. It's an opportunity for you to also practice this sunnah. But if you walk barefooted from your house to your office, people will say that brother is insane, and there is no amount of explanation that will convince them. So you have to study the environment so that you don't attract bad thoughts about the sunnah, you don't attract bad thoughts about the deen itself. Ala kulli hal, these were the people who were opportuned to be in the company of who? Of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because of time, we are going to draw the curtain here. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the opportunity of meeting next week, we shall commence with the hadith of Imran ibn Husayn. Ibn al-Husayn radiyallahu anhuma, wherein the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, khayrukum qarni, the best of you are my contemporaries, the best of this ummah. That is to say, all those ahadith that we have been narrating concerning those people who doesn't have even good clothing, those people who doesn't even have shoes, they were walking in Medina barefooted without shoes. Someone will even fall on his face, lying down like a mad person without, because of hunger. They were the best of this ummah. They were the best of this ummah. This is the hadith we shall be commencing with, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala, wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Na'am. Now, to say salam to him, it depends on the type of Shia. The type of Shia we have adjudged him to be. Because Shia are not of the same status. There are what scholars call gulat, those who have gone beyond boundaries. You cannot in any way link them to Islam. You cannot in any way link them to Islam. And there are those that their Shia does not extend, does not go beyond sentiment for Ali and his household. So those ones, you cannot categorically say they are kuffar. You cannot categorically say they are kuffar. So in a nutshell, it will not be a misplaced salam if someone says salam to such person, except if we have adjudged him to be the type of Shi'i that deserve kufr. Wallahu alam. Naam. Wa alaykum salam. A non-Muslim says salam to you. He says salam to you. Yes. What today? The opinions of scholars differ on that issue. Some scholars applied the hadith wherein the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said wa alaykum in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha wa ardaha in Sahih al-Bukhari, when Jews came and said assalamu alayk, Aisha had them very well. Death be upon you, not peace. Death. Assalamu alayk. Then the Rasulullah sallam said wa alaykum and kept me. But Aisha said wa alaykum la'natullahi wa when she started replying them. The Messenger says, Aisha, didn't you hear me? I've given them a sufficient reply. I said wa alaykum, that is sufficient. So scholars said, if a non-Muslim says assalamu alaykum, the response should be that which came in that hadith, wa alaykum. Wa alaykum. Some other scholars are of the opinion that you differentiate between hearing clearly what they said and not hearing clearly what they said. If you are clear that what they said is assalamu alaykum, then that it becomes compulsory upon you to reply them adequately. That hadith in this situation does not apply. But if you are in doubt as to what they say, most especially those Christians in Egypt, Lebanon, and Arabian countries who understand Arabic and can easily manipulate it. In such a situation, if you are not sure, you say wa alaykum. But if in a situation where in an environment the likeness of ours, what they say is assalamu alaykum. If they say assalamu alaykum, we are enjoined to what? In fact, Ibn Al-Faymin rahimahullah ta'ala said that is justice. وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُمْ بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَرُدُّوهَا أَوْ بِأَحْسَنِ مِهَا. You should delete فَهَيُّ بِأَحْسَنِ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا. You should respond with greeting which is better than it, or you what? You return it without adding anything to it. So if someone says assalamu alaikum, it is better for you to say wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. If someone says assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, it is better that you say wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That is ahsan minha. Aw rudduha. The least situation is that you return it the way it was said to you. Ibn Uthaymeen said that is justice. That it is injustice for someone to say assalamu alaikum and you refuse to answer. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, and that is the most authentic opinion if you consider the explanation of Allah ta'ala alam. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Amin wa yaakum. Naam.
Thank you. Yes, it is an issue of ijtihad. But while exercising such ijtihad, someone have to be very careful, because in this kind of a scenario, the kunut is likely to be done in perpetuity. It is not sunnah for you to engage in kunut perpetually. But in a situation of this nature now, if you look at the reality, it is likely to what? It is like it's something that has eaten deep into almost every sector of our livelihood. So the kunut now will be done for how long? So the best thing is for we to say scholars should encourage people to what? To engage in dua on that issue. Because if we introduce kunut for it is not the only calamity that has befallen us. There are others. Corruption is just one of it, right? So we are likely to open a door of innovation. So other issues that bothers us too will now what? Follow. Okay, we need kunut on this too. We need kunut on that too. We need kunut on that too. And it is not the tradition of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam that he does kunut for things like this. But we supplicate unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we will encourage Muslims. We encourage Muslims, and we also use avenues where it is lawful for us to supplicate, like when the Imam is what? Is on the pulpit. When the Imam is on the pulpit and the likes. And we also encourage people to supplicate unto Allah towards that direction. But introducing kunut is likely to be opening a door of innovation. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Now, wa alaykum salam, the last question. Why? What is the essence? What is the wisdom behind choosing those days? What is the peculiarity of Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? Someone have to be careful. This is an act of worship which is not tied to any day. Someone have to be careful. If Monday is if it is tied to convenience, for example, if it is tied to convenience, maybe he doesn't get that tired on Mondays, because by his schedules he doesn't work much on Mondays and Tuesdays, so he has more strength to engage in tahajjud in those days. That is something else, if it is convenience purpose. But if someone just sit down and target particular day and particular time for those acts of worship, it becomes an innovation. Someone have to be very, but if it is convenience, there is nothing wrong with it. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.